radio show is more important than any other mainstream media outlet that exists.
The Breakfast Club.
Don't play with it, don't play with it, don't play with it. Come on, baby, let's play with it.
Break up inside.
You damn come here when this shit ain't hot.
DJ Envy and Charlamagne the God.
Being here next to all of you guys, it's really big.
It's one of my favorite shows to do just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
But what better place than here?
I think everybody should go on the Breakfast Club and start with that. True, if yes. You want to shake it up.
It's a new day.
This is your time to get it off your chest.
Wake up.
Whether you're mad or blessed.
It's time to get up and get something.
Call up now. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Here, Envy. You know the vibes is mellow. What's the word?
Mellow, what's poppin', man?
Hello.
Say what's up to Jess.
Yo, man. Yo, what's up, Jeff? How you feeling?
I'm good, baby. What's up?
Yo, first of all, don't call me baby. I love you. All right, so boom, right? Okay. I have a real, need to get off my chest. Can you let the world know that natural women are still in? I'm tired of all these BBLs. And I'm not talking about Brazilian butlers. Because there's women with Brazilian butlers who look good. You feel me? Like, SZA, she thicker than Steve Harvey mustache. But I'm not going to hold you. The BBL I'm talking about is the booty and baby legs. Like, stop it. I don't want to see that in a sundress. I don't want to see you in them wrestling suits. Like, your time to shine is in the winter. Like, enough is enough.
I'm with you, Mello.
I love him.
I think we need to get back to the just natural beauty. I mean, what it's doing out there to a lot of these kids, a lot of these children, where they feel like they want to be their favorite celebrity.
Yeah.
It's very scary. There's nothing more beautiful than just a beautiful woman that's natural, has natural curves. I love it. I agree with you, Mello.
Word, too. And then they have the nerve to start workout plans. Like, what? Come on.
Well, listen, I am going to say that they have to work out to keep that BBL up, babe. You can't just get a BBL and then expect to look good just because you got a BBL. You have to work out. So that's why they're working out, babe.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Dez. What's going on, Envy?
Dez, what up, man?
Good morning. Good morning, Charlamagne.
Peace, King.
Jess Hilaire, what's going on, baby?
Nothing. What's up, baby?
You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to get on here this morning and thank DJ Envy for the Memphis show. I didn't go personally myself, but my mom and my sister drove down there from Chicago, and they said they met DJ Envy. You know what I'm saying? He showed good hospitality, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you remember or anything. She had an older lady walking around with a walker.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my goodness. I know exactly who it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, first of all, I sat out there the whole time. I don't... You know, hide in the car show. I go out there and I take pictures, walk around. So your mom was the lady. She had the walker straight in that she needed anything, and we made sure security walked her to the side because I think she was going into the Dolph Museum. I know exactly who your mom was, brother.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? Because she really, really, really enjoys herself, and I want you to know what I'm saying. Give my ups to you. You know what I'm saying? Because this what you're doing right here with the car show is amazing, brother.
I thank you, man. Tell your mother I said I appreciate you for coming out.
All right.
Thank you, brother. I know exactly who his mom was.
That's what's up.
And let me shout out to Little Rock, Arkansas. Arkansas was in there heavy. Chicago was in there heavy. Milwaukee was in there heavy. Memphis, of course, was in there heavy. A lot of people was out there heavy. Hello, who's this?
Yo, yo, yo. What's going on, Breakfast Club?
What up? Who's this?
Emmy. This is Tyler, a.k.a. Dingo. What's up?
Tyler, Dingo. What up? Get it off your chest.
Dingo.
This way, what up, Charlotte? How you doing, guy?
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored, brother.
Jess, how you doing, boo?
I'm good, babe. How you?
Oh, I'm good. You still fine over there?
You already know what's going on over here.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But anyway, Envy, I wanted to congratulate you on a successful car show in one of the most dangerous cities in the United States. Good job, brother. Congratulations. Yeah. Also, you got to take it easy. I'm glad you took the high road with this whole gunplay situation. That brother right there, he be wild. So I'm glad you took the high road on that. Yeah, it ain't worth that fight, bro, because he ain't got a lot of money. He don't want to fight that man. Trust me.
We're going to talk about it.
We're going to talk about it next in the room, so don't move.
And how you know what that man got?
What do you mean?
No, the man ain't got no money. Everybody else got to throw a little jab in. Why? Like, for what?
Hey, yo.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest.
Keep calling.
800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's good? It's B-Mont from the Metro. What's poppin', Izzy?
B-Mont, what up? Get it off your chest.
Also, how are you doing, Jess?
I'm good, baby. How you doing? I had to sip my tea. Okay, what's up?
Oh, nothing. Just chilling. Nice to hear you.
Thank you.
Hey, Envy.
Yep.
No problem. Hey, Envy, she is right when she's talking about these shrooms. These shrooms are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't gotta take them a lot. About like once every 3 months. To mm-hmm. clear you out, open you up.
Yep.
Come up with all kind of amazing ideas. Mm-hmm. See to the future. Changes your life.
I ain't mad at that, but 12 hours. Sitting down for 12 hours is
no,
crazy.
You can't sit down. That's the thing.
You got to move. You got to do things.
But I can't drive. I can't go nowhere. I'm stuck in one spot.
You're not stuck in one spot.
That's how you want it to be.
12 hours. You know how long 12 hours is?
Oh, I ain't going to trip, though. It ain't really 12 hours. It can be 12. I'll say it's more so like 6 to 12.
Yes,
it's a range. It depends on how much
12. It depends. I'm smaller than you. Envy, you bigger. You'll probably eat like a little bit under 3.5. You'll be feeling good for like 6 hours. You trip.
All right, I'm going to try it one time.
All right, man.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
You too.
I love that. He called to advocate for the shrooms.
For the shrooms?
Yes.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what up? Breakfast Club, it's Lil Honda Civic.
Hey, what's up, brother? Get off
what
your
up,
chest.
What up, Honda Civic?
Yo, what's poppin', man? I just want to say I was at the Detroit Car Show, and DJ Envy been doing a phenomenal job with it.
Oh, thank you, brother. We're going to come back to Detroit next year, I think.
All right, for sure, man. I mean, I'm out in California. I'm waiting for you to come out in California. I'm trying to get you to play a Lil Honda Civic on the radio so I can get sponsored by Honda. I could be at every event, you know what I mean?
You got a song called Lil Honda Civic?
Yeah, if you Google it, I'm the only one in the world.
That's dope. I like you representing for the Honda, man. The Honda is one of the most loyal cars ever, okay?
Yep.
There's people that got Hondas right now that they've had for 30 years, and them things still running.
Oh, yeah, I'm in mine right now.
I was trying to buy, you know, my first car was a 1986 Honda Accord with the flip-up lights. I've been trying to buy one, but them things expensive still to this day. Like, expensive.
Oh, right?
Yes, if they got, like, you know, low miles on it or decent miles, expensive. I've been trying to find one on Facebook, Marketplace. I've been trying eBay, everywhere. 1986 Honda Accord with the flip-up lights.
Everybody's had a Honda. I had a red Honda Civic back in the day, and, you know, it broke down on me because I didn't change the oil.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't know nobody.
Oh, that's on you. You got to change that oil, man.
I know, man.
I just want to say happy Father's Day to y'all. And, you know, my dad was a Master P's first DJ in Richmond, California. So happy Father's Day to my pops. You know what I mean?
Damn. Okay.
That's
OG.
What it is.
Tell OG I said peace.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's chilling right now. He's in the studio right now.
All right. Well, hopefully I'll see you in Houston, brother.
I'm going to try to see y'all, man. Have a good day, y'all.
Peace.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
That's right.
Marlon Wayans.
What's happening? How y'all doing? How y'all doing?
New HBO special, God Love Me. But boy, the Smith family won't.
You know what? I really think they're going to love it.
I don't think so.
I think they're going to love it, and I think Chris Rock's going to love it.
Chris is a comedian, so he might...
Because sometimes when you crack jokes, it depends on the joke. Sometimes it's good to laugh at yourself. This was like a roast and a toast.
Yes.
So I didn't just slam them. You know, I'm respectful of the journey. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've known each other too long for me to just, like, go in and be disrespectful. I'm respectful. I know them. Like, Jada was one of my dear friends, mm-hmm. you know? And then Will I know. And I know Chris since I was 10 mm-hmm. or 11. So I'm not going in. I'm just giving...
You
it's
are
funny.
Going in, Mark.
No.
You are.
Well, what happened?
You but did you reach out to them beforehand?
No, why would I do that?
You just said they were your friends.
So they're going to tell me, hey, don't do this joke. Don't do that joke. That joke is out of bounds. You could do this one joke. No, you just trust that your intentions are pure and it's good. And look, here's the thing. Reason why I did this in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Black women mm-hmm. will tell you when you out of bounds.
That's right.
They're like, no, don't do Will like that. They'll be like, see, you went too far with Chris. Black women will be the referee. You know who loves this special? Black right. women, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. because it's not just a bunch of jokes. It's not even about them. This special is about me. They just so happen to be a part of it. Everybody mm-hmm. in your journey is a part of your journey, but your life ain't their life. God affects you
right.
differently.
That's
it's
right.
like things happen in your life that send you on a journey and go, you know what? I got to be great. Like, Small stuff. Mm-hmm. Like the smallest thing you wouldn't even think about. Like
when you call me a bruised eggplant.
Exactly.
I was gonna
say. Damn it.
Marley.
Damn it. That's what, you know what I'm saying?
It wasn't the bruised eggplant. It was when Marley said, you peeked at life.
Marley, hold on. Yeah. I said, you peeked at life. I said, when you peeked at life, you a local I went in. Because I was like, why is he coming at me?
I've never heard him hurt this morning. So this morning when the show.
I wasn't hurt. Come on, yes, I was.
We played a clip of your special where you mentioned the facial colors disparity of Charlamagne's face, right?
Yeah, but we did that, so I just kind of jabbed that out there.
But then he was like, it didn't hurt like the bruised eggplant.
That's not what I said. I laughed and I said, I'll tell you one thing, man. I never got hurt by a tweet until Marlon Wayne told me I looked like a bruised eggplant.
But I seen it in his face this morning. He was like, Envy, what is a bruised eggplant?
That was the point. But all those years ago, that's one of the things that make you think a bruised eggplant. Right. Then you look at a bruised eggplant.
I'm a show, and then it's like the thing that you be tired, and if you don't want to get up and go to work, and you think, nah, this I'm a bruised eggplant. Nah, I'm getting up. I'm going to work. Give me three. One podcast ain't enough. I need five podcasts. A local nigga. Nah. I'm writing books. I'm writing me a book. I don't know how to spell, but I'm gonna write me a book.
He writes. I'm telling you, when somebody tells you that you peaked at life.
Life, yeah.
My God. Jesus. You gotta look around like, hold up.
But now look at you, right?
No, that's real.
Why would I ever be mad that you actually made it in life when God sent me in that purpose in that time to make you reevaluate yourself?
God sent you?
Yo, it's real. God sends you angels sometimes in the form of devil only to reveal themselves as devil.
It's just motivation.
Because look, same with you. Like, you know, you came, you was with Wendy Williams and y'all was dissing my family and my brother was mad. He wanted to fight. And then my sister was pissed off and he apologized about it. And I'm just like, but look now. You call me, you're like, yo, want to do my show? I'm there.
That's right.
I'm going to go. I'm going to be funny. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show up. You know, it's all love. It's all peace. And it's all a part of our journey. It's all a part. There is no bad. Chris Rock heckled me when I was 19 years old.
No.
I quit stand-up comedy. I only did it 10 times up until. I love Chris. Chris is like a big brother. I quit stand-up comedy for 20 years.
Damn
20
it.
Years.
Because of Chris?
Yes.
What was he yelling?
I was hurt. That was my bruised eggplant. What wasn't he yelling? Which Wayans are you?
Damn it, man.
Which way? I thought y'all both be funny. They need to switch families. You need to go to the DeBarge family.
Damn.
I was like, damn.
Damn, so this your get back? This like your Michael B. Jordan on the red carpet moment?
No, I don't. See, that's the thing. I didn't take it in like that.
Where?
See, Michael B. Jordan, and I love Michael B., mm-hmm. If I had to pull my little brother to the side, I'd be like, don't let him see you sweat. Internalize that feeling.
Mm.
And let that continue to drive you. And whenever you come out with love. I would have just been like, you don't have to do that, right? Mm-hmm. You did it by doing it. That says everything. Mm-hmm. And me, I look at my journey, and when you see the special, you're going to be like, oh, man. That's a beautiful journey because it's not just about them. It's not about the slap. If I did a special about just the slap, it's meaningless. That's something you talk about and it's gone. Mm-hmm. This ain't about a slap. This is about a 30-year journey of knowing people and how that one cataclysmic moment changed my life and made me look at my life special.
How do you make specials special nowadays? Because I think about like, you know, like Neil Brennan, he has blocks and it's like a theme to it. Or like Chris is doing the live stand up.
He does some great specials. Mm-hmm. His specials, because conceptually,
yes,
he really thinks about the concept. I thought Three Mics was
fantastic.
Brilliant. The fact that he would tell us a joke, like a one liner, mm-hmm. then he would tell you the joke and it'd be funny, and then he would take you through the pain.
That's right.
I just take all of them and throw them into one mic
mm-hmm.
and do it that way. And but I really like what he's doing. I think to make it special, I think you have to, my brothers, this is the first thing I've done. I've always tried to impress my brothers. My mm-hmm. brother Keenan and Damon are the hardest two to impress. Because they've been doing this 50 years of comedy with each of them. This is a century of comedy.
That's crazy.
These brothers have seen everything. Nothing funny. This is how they laugh. Mm. That's funny. If it's funny, then why the ain't you laughing? I like that one. They don't laugh. This is the first time Keenan sent Damon. He goes, we're going to see what Marlon's doing. Damon went to my show. He goes,
That's brilliant. I thought I was hoping you bombed. Damon's dark. That was genius. And he told Keenan, how was my own show? Did he bomb? No. Unfortunately, it was brilliant.
Keenan said it was brilliant.
And Damon said it was brilliant because he's seen it all. He said, this is the first time you did something I never seen.
Wow.
You made me look at the art form a different way. He said it was like a one-man play, but a stand-up special at the same time. And he referenced, like, my physicality. He referenced staying in the pocket. He referenced even having a little bit of heart. Like, he was like, it was well-crafted, well-put together, and the truth. And then the truth of the journey, and it was all real. He was like, it was brilliant. Keenan was like, he agreed because they seen it all. Mm. And this is the first time they seen something different. I think that's what, to me, what makes a comedian really great is when they do something different.
All right, we got more with Marlon Wayans. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Our co-host Portia Williams is here. And we're still kicking it with Marlon Wayans. When you do comedy, when you do these specials, because it sounds like you want to show your brothers that you can do it and that you are funny. Do you do it for your brothers or do you do it for the crowd?
I do it for myself. That's the thing, right? And if you look at the progression, my brothers was like, I remember we took Keenan to Greece for his 60th. And we're inside the Sprinter van, and we're talking about comedy. And I told my brothers my plan. I said, I'm going to drop my first special. I know I'm only 7-8 years in, but I want to drop my first special. And then every 2 years, I want to drop a different special because I want to see my progression as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
These lit into me so bad.
Why didn't you believe
Sean,
you could do it?
That's stupid. Why would you do that? You got to wait 20 years before you could drop a special. That's stupid. You want to drop your best one first. Damon,
that's dumbest I ever heard. How you going to drop a special in 8 years? You barely got 3 jokes. How you going to do that?
Keenan, that's not what real comedy is. And I was sitting there. I remember I was mad. And I was in a limo. I said, that. I'm doing what I said I'm going to do. I'm not trying to be y'all. I'm just trying to be me. And this is the fight we have.
Mm-hmm.
Because my brothers love me. I don't take it like, y'all, I got something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
No, I go, instead of, I'm going to show you. I don't do it with that bitterness. I go, okay, I'm going to show myself, and then I'm going to show y'all that we can do this this way. I'm going to show you with love. I'm going to show you humbly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then do it.
Sean, it's stupid. It's never going to work. And they walked up the Sprinter, and then Damon looked back, and he seen me and my feelings.
And he said, you know what, ugly? It sounds like a stupid plan. But go ahead. Do you. Show us something different. We own it. You that digital, we don't even know what a Twitter is.
I said, all right. And he rubbed me. And he said,
it's still going to be unfunny.
And then he rubbed the man. But that sent me on a mission, like, personally, and I'm doing exactly what I said I was going to do. Because in my lifetime, I got all these brothers that trailblaze for me. But I'm not shit if I don't walk off the beaten path and try to trailblaze something for them.
You did that already.
Right. No, I got to do something for them because I got to do something for their kids that's following me. I'm the uncle, the last uncle that they're following. Like, yo, uncle did it this way. And that's what's making me, not Damon and Keenan and Sean, little brother, that I'm Marlon.
Did they understand white chicks?
I don't think nobody looks at you like that,
Mom. I was going to say, did they understand, like, the white chicks and the things that you do that's different from their era?
Well, white chicks, me, Sean. Sean's a brilliant. Sean came up with the idea for White Chicks. He called me up. I thought he was high on green tea. And he was like, we should play white women. I said, nigga, go to sleep.
Y'all was ahead of y'all time.
Yeah. He was. Yeah.
Y'all was identifying as women.
Sean,
he's so back in the day.
Now the white women turn into black women. Right. So he came with the idea, and then we pitched it to Keenan, and Keenan was like, that could work. And then we watched some movies, and we found Something Like It Hot, and we was like, boom. And then we looked at the Paris and Hilton, and we was like, boom. And we put the map together, and we did that. But see, we did that collectively.
Question, when y'all go to Greece, when y'all take Keenan to Greece, who pays?
You know, funny enough, I wind up getting stuck with a lot of the bills. I don't know why, because there's a respect thing, right? I wouldn't be me if it wasn't for my brothers. My brothers, they always came back home. They knew me and Sean was there, and they made it a purpose to go get their little brothers. Keenan would fly us out to L.A. Keenan would put movies on while he went to a club, come back and he'll put like Blazing Saddles on, or he'd get the videotape of Airplane. He goes, what's funny about that, and how do you make it funnier? And he'd go to the club, and I remember it was the 80s, so that put his jeans on with no drawers. He was getting in the club, apparently. And that's the 80s, right? And he would come back, and he have a girl, and the girl would go in the room and his waterbed, and he'd go, all right, before I leave, tell me what you guys thought of the movie and how do you make it funnier? And we would sit there and pitch. We didn't know what he was doing, but he was grooming us at 11 and 12 years old. And my nephew, who was like 7, and my other nephew, who was 5, he was grooming us to do this. My brothers looked out, and for me, now that they're older, I'm going to look out for them the way they looked out for me, and I'm going to look out for their kids. When you see a Marlon set, I guarantee you there is a young Wayans, Keenan's son, Sean's son, Damon's daughter. There's some Wayanses on the set. All this bull, nepotism, this. Yeah, we do nepotism. Sucker brothers. No, we do nepotism. It's a good thing. You're supposed to. If you don't give back to your family, you can't be generous.
That's right.
What fool's gonna give out if you don't give back to your family? You have to give your family. A man takes care of his family first, and then your generosity builds. Mm-hmm. So I'm with the nepotism thing.
I still feel like the Wayans legacy hasn't been documented correctly.
Totally right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's a documentary or a movie, but something has to be done to show what this family has accomplished.
It's coming, right? I get excited because the first 30 years was learning. The next 30 is the execution of all that we have. We are Alaska. Mm-hmm. We are not Texas where they drilled oil. We haven't even drilled in our big ass plot of land. Mm-hmm. And now when we start drilling, and then all my other nephews, I got nephews and nieces, and my daughter and my son, is these niggas in film school, they ain't f***ing around. They handsome and writing, and they got storyboards, and I'm just like, yo. And now we have all this knowledge. It's coming. These next 30 is coming. It ain't over. It's just beginning. Now I haven't even had a hot moment yet. You realize this shit?
What you mean?
What you mean?
I've never had a hot moment.
Oh, no, that's true. You've been consistent. I get what you say. You've been consistent. But it hasn't been that moment where Marlon is the guy.
Yes.
And that's just, it sounds weird to
Isn't
say.
That crazy?
It does sound weird.
I get what you're saying, though.
So many things, but I never had a hot moment.
I get exactly what you're saying.
I've never been the guy that gets the first script. I've never been the guy that go, here's this action movie, here's this drama. I've never been the guy that gets the top 10 scripts with the top 10 producers, with the top 10 directors. I've never been that guy because I've always been the guy creating his own material, staying in the game, doing this, doing that. But one day when I become the guy, because now I got 30 years of everything under my belt. Mm-hmm. Now I can drama, kill it, show me. I'm an heir.
Yeah,
That's a dope role. It's a small role, but it's dope. Ben called me up, Ben Affleck, and he was like,
Ben Affleck,
and he gave me this long speech. First of all, I was like, how you get my number? Then I remember, this play Batman. So he has access. And then, so we're talking, and he's just rambling on. He's like, hey, I got this role, and I was wondering if you would do it. And, you know, I was like, you know, I was talking to Jennifer, and Jennifer was like, I need a handsome guy, funny. I need to make sure he's funny, but he's a really good actor. And I've seen some of your stuff, and she's known you from Olivia Cup. 45 minutes, this man's talking to me about doing this part. I said, Ben, you had me at hello. This has been Affleck. I didn't give a f- what you were going to put me. It could have been a porno. I've been bet. Cream pie, let's go.
I just need you to write a couple of jokes, you know, down for me. Like, that bruised eggplant, I've never seen him hurt like that. You don't understand.
It wasn't the bruised eggplant. It was the peak that life.
No.
Because you got to understand, at the time, I was living back home with my mom.
I've never heard this man act like this before in my life. We were talking about nothing.
I was minding my business. He started with me.
He said
I started that.
He said, this nigga even funny. I said, I ain't funny.
No, it wasn't that.
No, he said, you funny in movies and TV, but he should get the f*** off Twitter. But see, you was a troll. You was a troll.
Who?
Joe Budden.
Mm-hmm.
Joey B was a troll. I'm minding my business. He said some smart
recently?
I went in.
Back then?
Back then.
Okay.
I went in. I was like, you one hit wonder. you whoop head is. Ass. I look at my tweets. I told him, you peaked at life. Kill yourself. I said, the best thing about you is your beard. I was so mad. And you know what? I got to call him because I think it's still lingering. Like, we got over. I got to go do Joey's show because we went at it. We got to talk about it. Because I was minding my business, and then you're going to come shoot shots fired.
Let me tell you something. You peaked that life is so cruel. I would never say that to somebody.
You peaked that life.
You peaked that life.
I got to fight you after that now.
Well, I'm glad you didn't peak at life, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you, my
brother.
I'm glad I didn't.
Every time you do something new, I'm always going to support it because I feel like, you know what? God loves you, and I'm a part of that journey.
That's right. You are. I appreciate you.
Well, it's DJ MV. It's the Bruised Eggplant. And by the way, thank you for joining us, brother. Love. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When it's time to get with someone special, the best way to do it is with Magnum Large Size Condoms. That gold foil wrapper is a badge of honor, and it means you're protected. And you take care of things with comfort. Accept no substitutes. Bring the pleasure with the gold standard. Magnum, large size condoms.
Daddy, call him up.
Tell her. It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're asking, what's the longest you've been without talking to your spouse? Maybe after an argument, maybe after a disagreement, whatever it may be. What's the longest you've been? Me, it's probably been not even a day. You know, I'm Virgo, so I get upset. I get attitudes, and it gets to the point I'm gonna always need my wife for something.
Oh, no, I mean, like, you know, me and my wife been married since 2014, but we've been together since, you know, 98. So we've been together, it'll be 25 years this year. So it was definitely, she broke up with me for a year, and, like, I think it was either 02 or 03. And she definitely was not talking to me. like she definitely had disconnected from me. So it had to be within that time span. I don't know how long we went without talking, but it definitely was within that year. We didn't talk a lot.
Yeah, somebody always told me if you're having a problem with your wife or your husband, the worst thing you do is not talk, and the second worst thing you could do is leave the house.
Bruh, the worst thing you can do if anybody you having a problem with is not communicate. Like I really truly believe that most situations can be resolved if people just communicate. Nobody likes to communicate with each other. We either don't talk, or when we do talk to each other, we don't tell each other the truth about what we're mad at. We be all passive aggressive with it. You know what I mean? Like, just lay it out on the table. Don't worry about hurting other person's feelings. Just get it out. That's the only way you can actually, I believe, have healthy relationships, is to communicate.
Hello, who's this?
Tatiana from Jersey.
Hey, from Jersey. What part of Jersey?
Morning. North.
Nook, all right. What's the longest you've been without talking to your boo?
Me and my husband, we probably went like 4 hours. He caught himself getting mad at me one day and storming out the house just to go and sit in front of the house in the car.
We do
so maybe
stuff
like 4 hours.
And then he realized he needs you for something and got to come back in the house, right?
Of course. You know, you got a wife, you know.
Yeah. That'd be funny, though, when guys leave the house acting like we going somewhere, knowing damn well we ain't got nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go.
Right. I was like, where are we at? He wasn't answering me nothing. Whole time he's sitting in front of the house.
Mm-mm-mm. Thank you, Mama.
4 hours ain't too bad, though.
4 hours.
4 hours is actually necessary. Even in a healthy relationship, when y'all not beefing over nothing, sometimes you just got to get away from your significant other. You need your alone time.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, it's Nika.
Nika, where you calling from?
I'm calling from Florida.
Florida. All right, what's the longest you went without talking to your boyfriend or girlfriend?
I went about a week because I was super upset. You know, sometimes men, you know, y'all just, you know, push some buttons. So I went about a week.
What did he do?
But that girl... Ooh.
Hello?
So he kind
of
like...
boy, you just triggered her just now. Jesus. You had to take a breath before you tell this story. Okay, go ahead, boo.
I did. He's like the kind of person that... He's like the kind of man that feels like he can do things and I can't. So he can stay out late, but I can't, you know, because it's nothing in the streets for women, you know, stuff like that. So he's like the kind of, I can do it, but you can't because you're a woman type of person. So that really like gets under my skin with him. So, you know, he did it again, you know, came in his house late. It's crazy. So I was upset, of course. So I had to show my true colors, no cooking, no cleaning, no none of that nicky, none of that stuff. So I was mad for about a week, but child, the way she acts down there, when he passed by, Yeah, I gave in.
Ah, how that thing started tingling?
Yeah, she thought she had her own little personal heartbeat, and now, you know, I done gave in. Like, I ain't mad no more, whatever.
I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear y'all got over it.
All right, let's go to one more caller. Hello, who's this?
Hey, DJ Envy, this is Yvette. How you doing?
Hey, Yvette, where you calling from?
I'm from Columbia. I'm not from Columbia, but I'm in Columbia.
803 to Metro.
What's the longest you've been without talking to your spouse, Mama?
A week and a half.
Why so long?
That is not long.
A week and a half?
Is that your husband?
Yeah.
That's your husband or boyfriend?
No, it's my fiance now.
Yeah, that ain't long for that. But what happened?
He had a situationship.
Oh, he had another boo?
Yeah.
And it only took you a week and a half to get over it?
No, she didn't say she got over it.
We got four kids. So, you know.
How she look?
Well, shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
How she look?
How who look?
The other girl.
Shut up.
She pretty?
No. I don't think so, but hey.
I mean, let's be objective.
Oh,
I understand you're upset and you have every right to be upset, but let's just be objective.
Oh, boy.
Can you see why he might have made that mistake?
No.
Okay.
Is that him in the background?
No, that's my son.
Oh, okay. I'm with you. So what happened? How'd y'all figure it out?
Long story.
Boy, you said, I don't want y'all calling up here when y'all triggered. I want y'all calling y'all therapist, okay?
Oh, boy.
Because these stories be triggering y'all so bad. Huh?
No, I did actually go to therapy, though. I did.
You should have. I'm glad.
All right.
I did.
So what happened? What happened after the week and a half? What made y'all start communicating again? Because you had questions?
I had questions. Mm-hmm. I had questions, and we have children.
Damn.
And I still love. So.
Are you over it now? Because you can't.
No!
No, but no, you can't forgive them if you're not over it. You can't.
Exactly.
You can't forgive them if you're not over it.
You have to get over it.
That's right.
You have to get over it. So
are you over it?
Yes.
Okay.
You sure?
Yes.
Boy, I wish I knew her name. If I knew her name, I'd say her name just to see if it's still triggering you a little bit.
No, stop it, man. You have a good one, Mom. You have a good one, Mama.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hang up, Red. See, that's your problem.
What's
that brother
problem?
Right now, he's at work right now. He's happy. He going to get a phone call today. And then it's all because of you.
That's not because of me. It's because it's because of the conversation that we was having triggered her. So, because we asked her specifically, why didn't you talk to your significant other? So, she had to think about that, and that triggered her. She had to go back and think about that man cheating on her.
No, you asked her how the other girl looked. You ain't have to go there.
I just wanted to know. You know what I mean? I just wanted to know what she thought. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm-mm.
That's all.
What's the moral of this story?
The moral of the story is communication is the key, man. You know what I mean? I understand, you know, especially I understand disconnecting when you think you're going to say something that you regret. I respect that, but God dang, a week and a half and all of that, that's kind of crazy to be living with somebody and not talking. And life is too short. And you do not want, you know, your last words to somebody you love to be, you know, silence.
Absolutely.
You don't want that.
Well, yeah, and let me shout out to my wife because she is the communicator in our relationship. She, when it's just crazy, she's like, let's stop what we're doing. Let's figure this out, and then we can continue on. That's her. Mm. I'm more like, I got to keep it moving. But she's like, no. We're going to stop what you're doing. I don't care what you got to do. We're going to sit there. We're going to talk about this. We're going to discuss it. And then we're going to get over it. And then we continue on.
I think that's a great way to be. And if you can't do it by yourself, go get a therapist. Go sit down with a couple's therapist, okay, and figure it out.
All right. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Boom, 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 boom. Champs are here, ladies and gentlemen. Flaw J. Johnson and Angel Reese. Welcome.
Good morning.
How y'all feeling?
Great. Like a champ.
Like a champ?
Like a champ.
Like a champ. Well, first of all, congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
How's it feel?
I feel good. Mm. Feels great.
I mean, some time has passed now, so, you know, things have sunk in. Has it really sunk in that, we the champs?
Yeah, it's sunk in.
Yeah.
It doesn't suck in.
We've been traveling. We've been on tour for the last 3 weeks, so it's been lit.
Okay. I'm happy y'all won, even though I'm a Gamecock fan, because I'm from South Carolina.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's my wife's alma mater. But I'm happy y'all won because, you know, y'all beat the team that beat us, so I'm happy.
Yeah, most definitely. We did it for the SEC. Most definitely.
I saw you say that, though, Angel.
Yeah. No, it was for the SEC, for sure. Word. Yeah. They sisters, for sure.
So now let's talk about the first. Let's talk about the game. How did it feel to win and all this press that's coming on after it, right? Because people are talking about less about the game per se and more about the this and more about the chipping and the chirping and all that. So how does that feel? Because they're taking it outside of sports, and I don't know if that's what you guys necessarily want.
Yeah, no, I feel like we didn't get a lot of the praise that we should have got for the game, because we did work hard for the game to win that game, and it took a lot to get to the championship for sure. And a lot of people didn't think we were going to be there. I mean, everybody talked about our non-conference schedule. It was weak. They didn't like our coach. All this and that. But then we got there and we won. And then it was just feel like it was taken away from us, kind of from everything. But I mean, to be a part of history like that, where 9.9 million people watched that game, I mean, I guess the good comes with the bad. I mean,
that's gotta be the most watched women's college game ever.
And men's. In history. Yeah, yeah, history. Yeah,
it was crazy. That's lit. More people watch the girls than the boys.
And they played your song after y'all won, right?
Facts. I was holding the trophy and they started playing my song, Big Four Freestyle. It was crazy.
So that wasn't playing? Like,
nah, DJ Shauna, shout out to her. But like, we met her when we first landed in Dallas. And I was telling her, like, I rap, so you need to be playing my song the whole time while we're here at the Final Four. She was like, for real? So come happen, like, we going to line up. She playing the instrumental while we going, like, calling our name. I'm like, that's crazy. And then when we won, she played it. And man, it was crazy. American Airlines Arena was turned.
What do you love more, rap or basketball, Flajay?
I love both of them, for real. I feel like I got like a strong passion for basketball because like it's like a continual like way like to reach growth, and you can never reach perfection, even in music. But I feel like I got more time with music. Like with basketball, the ball gonna stop bouncing one day. Like, you know what I'm saying? But like music, I feel like that's forever. So like I'm just trying to hone in on basketball as much as I can.
I met your pops back in the day.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm, like I said, I'm from South Carolina, so the DJ for Pure Pain was DJ B-Lord. And he was from South Carolina, so he would always be playing the Pure Pain drops, be playing all the music. They would always come to the market, Charleston, South Carolina. Like, yeah, Friends was a big record.
Yeah, that was the one, man. 2000, man. That's why it's just so important for what I'm doing. Just trying to make sure I keep that legacy alive, because a lot of people don't know. Like, you know, because you're from the South, but like a lot of people around the world, and they starting to know and understand my story. So that's why it's so important for me to finish it out and tell it and go the biggest route.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, I said, should she redo Friends? But I'm like, nah, it probably wouldn't be good for her image.
I wanna take some time with that. You know what I'm saying? I feel like in Savannah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, in the South, that's a classic record. Absolutely. Like, you know what I'm saying? So when I come on there, I wanna make sure I come correct and with everything I got going on right now. Not right now, but it's no, you know, it's no telling.
Absolutely.
Now Wayne reached out to you, said he wanted to do a record with you.
What's that?
How was that conversation? Y'all pulled up at me on the car show too. Y'all came to the car show, right?
No. Oh
yes.
Yeah, her.
Yeah, yeah, mama, yeah.
But not like Wayne, like he was on ESPN, shout out Sue Bird. But like she was like, you know Flajay? He like, yeah. Shout out Kim Mokey though, because she really threw the alley-oop. She like telling him, like, I got a rapper on my team, you need to get with her. He on ESPN, they plug me. He's like, yeah, we finna do something musically. So I hit up his manager. He like, send me the open. I'm like, I do you one better. I'm pulling up on you. You know, he got a show in Atlanta this weekend, so I'm gonna pull up on him. We gonna cut that, and yeah, it's going up.
You scared?
Scared of what?
You get on the record with Wayne.
Nah, I ain't scared. Nah, because when y'all hear what I'm finna put them on, y'all gonna be like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, this the moment I've been waiting for, Charlamagne. Like, for real. So, I'm really excited that I finally get to, like, show the world on that stage, because that's a legendary feature.
Absolutely. It's one of the top three greatest rappers of all time.
Top three for sure.
How did this relationship happen outside of basketball?
In the summertime, it was rough. Whew, child, it was rough. In the summer,
you didn't like her like that?
I didn't like her. It was like, I didn't know if she was gonna make it. She showed up late. She used to come in there, chalk trash. The team didn't like her. I know the team didn't like her because they didn't want to play with her. And I was like, I want to play with her, but I was telling her, like, you can't talk to me how you talk to somebody else. Like, we cut from different places. So she understand that. Coming as a freshman, it was hard. But then, I don't know, going through the season, we got locked in. Yeah.
Click.
We got why they didn't like you, Flajay? Why you were so successful?
Oh, man.
She was late showing
hold
up.
Hold on. Let me really tell you why. I was in pickup. And I was killing them for real, but I was talking trash, like talking wet.
Crazy. As a freshman.
Talking crazy. I'm like, usually freshmen don't come in like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? They come in quiet, trying to feel it. I'm like, nah, this my, like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I just had that energy.
Especially if you busting ass.
Yeah,
you busting their ass.
Fact.
It's like,
and Angel's like, you know, just gotta tone, you know what I'm saying? Like, just tone it a little down. And I forgot, like, I used to play with dudes, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, these females, so it's different. Like, you talk trash with a dude, y'all really could fight, and y'all get off the court, and y'all cool. But with girls, it's like different. So she told me, she's like, Fly, you gotta tone it down. And then I was on my rapper time, like, in the summer, I'm rapping and I'm hooping at the same time. So I'm coming in, I'm late, I don't got on the right clothes. Like, I had to run the stadium for like 30 minutes.
They got her.
Yeah, I was good.
The stadium steps, that turned her.
Oh, that's the discipline?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Do they like you now?
Huh?
We love her.
Oh, they love me.
Okay, they love me.
We love her now.
I can't imagine Angel Reese telling anybody to tone it down.
I was thinking the same thing.
Like, I was the Bayou Bobby telling people to tone it down.
How you telling somebody to turn it down?
What you mean? I just know when it comes to my teammates, it's I know how to talk. When it's anybody else, it's free smoke. Like, it's free. It's free smoke.
Free smoke.
Now, we got to ask, the hand gesture in the face, where did you get it from? What was the influence of that? Was it Tony Yayo? Was it John Cena?
No, it's Tony Yayo for sure, but people don't realize that. Yeah. Like, they think it's John Cena, but I really know, like, Tony Yayo was the one. But she did it first in another game, and I was like, oh, yeah, bet. Say no more. I got something. I got something for every single person that try to play.
Now, did you feel like they, of course, when they attacked you, we felt like, of course, because you were black and she was white.
Yeah, for sure.
How was your mental with that? Because you seen her do it in the game.
Yeah, no, I already knew what it was going to be. They always got to find something to say. So I knew it was going to be something about that. They were going to say it. So, I mean, I was happy we won and I got the publicity. We all got the publicity. Yeah, the team was lit. So we was up. I ain't care.
You know what I think people don't realize about y'all? Like, y'all know how to play the game.
For sure.
Outside of the court. Y'all know how to be performative to get everybody talking, but I see a lot of discipline on the actual basketball court. And even hearing you told her to tone it down, I was like, oh, get it.
Yeah, no.
Coach Moki, first of all, she don't play that. Like,
she don't play.
We basketball players first. Like, this is the thing about Coach Moki. Like, everybody think they got her opinions about her. I love her. Love her to death. But, like, she want to see us grow as students and then basketball players. Like, and then what else she said, whatever you do, you're going to be an astronaut as long as you're in my practice on time. You know what I'm saying? So she just let us be us, but it's still that discipline and structure there. And I feel like that's what I needed, more discipline, more structure. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I've come from doing what I want to do, like, you know what I'm saying? So in a sense, but like she gave us that structure on the court, like we do things the right way, but we still gonna put our flair on it, and then she love that because we are who we are.
How long did it take for you to buy into that?
I'm telling, after the stadiums, I was lit. That's summertime.
I'm gonna make my kids run some stadiums now. Go run them stadiums.
Did you see yourself and her, Angel, when you came in as a, you know,
as a freshman? No, I was scared. I mean, as a freshman, you come in, I was a little, I wasn't as confident as Flajay. Now I definitely wasn't. So I kind of got humbled my freshman year because I came in, I was doing well, and then I broke my foot. So it was a setback for me. And luckily, she had an amazing freshman year, and that's a blessing to come in and start freshman of the year, everything she wanted to accomplish on the court and off the court. I mean, that was a blessing right there.
What made you transfer to LSU?
I need a new start. I mean, I know what I wanted for myself, and I wanted growth and a coach like Kim Mulkey to push me every day. I want her to cuss me out every day. Like, tell me I'm not good enough, and I feel like I'm still not good enough. All the accolades that I got this year, they're still not good enough because just being able to have a coach like that, and she keeps me humble. So I needed her. And I mean, I don't think I'll be in a leadership role anywhere else other than LSU, and being able to grow my platform on and off the court was just something I needed.
Well, I came over Dawn. I know you made a visit to Columbia.
I want to be South Carolina. I mean, they the powerhouse. So I wanted to, I told coach when I came to LSU, I want to go back to what Simone and Sylvia did. So just being able to grow the program was something I wanted to do.
All right, we got more with Angel Reese and Flajay Johnson when we come back. Don't move, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne the Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Angel Reese and Flajay Johnson. Now, you're going to have a target on your back next year.
Yeah, for sure.
Big target.
So now, how do y'all make sure y'all stay focused and y'all make sure you repeat what you guys do?
Stay humble.
Yeah, shoot. We keep ball first, you know what I'm saying? We keep it first. And we work, though. Like, we work.
For sure.
Them 4-hour practices. 4-hour practices. You feel me? So, like, we know we the hunting now. You know what I'm saying? And we understand that because of what we do. But I told Angel, like, the other day, like, you know what I'm saying? You dish it, you got to take it. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we got to be ready, because I know they coming.
Is there pressure to repeat?
Nah, because we ain't even expect to win this year.
Yo, God. We wasn't supposed to win this year.
No. We wasn't supposed to win this year. But we did. We put in the work and all the, you don't even see like all the work that we put in, and then for it to come together at the right time, it was crazy.
People don't remember like this year too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in her tenure, this year too. It's our first year together. So like, I got a chip year one, you know what I mean? So, like, we wasn't supposed to be here, but we got the number one recruiting class coming in. You know, we got transfers coming in. So, you know, we trying to build to that, to be in the Final Four every year. But, like, we wasn't even supposed to be there. They counted us out.
Is Haley transferring from Louisville?
Where?
Haley Van Lift.
Is she coming to LSU? Yeah. We don't know.
Oh, yeah. I thought I heard that somewhere.
You know, we hear a lot of things out here.
How would y'all feel if that happened, though?
No, it would be lit.
She's a good player. I love to play with her. For sure.
Now, the first lady invited both teams to the White House. How did y'all feel when she invited the ops to the White House?
First time in history, man.
Right, first time in history.
It was frustrating just to take away from what we already done, but it is what it is. We still going to go. I mean, as a team, I'm from Maryland, so I mean, I've been to the White House before, but I've never been where I can sit down at the table and tap the buzzer. So it's a one-time opportunity in life. So being able to have her, she came back and said, took back what she said, and we're going
to
go.
Yeah. How hard was it to not say what y'all really wanted to say? Like, y'all feel so sorry for them white girls that we beat them. That y'all inviting them to the White House?
No, I think on Twitter we really got to, you know, express how we felt. We said how we felt. Like, I made a tweet and I was like, you know, if we lost, would we be invited type thing? Right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think that question alone just like leaves some silence right there to just think about facts. That. You know what I'm saying? So
was there backlash to you, Angel, from the school? Like, what do you mean we not going?
Yeah, because I spoke out of emotion, like just being able to not speak for the team. I mean, I didn't speak for the team. I was speaking out of emotion because I still stand there. Like, I'm upset like that she still said that. But
absolutely.
I'm going to do what's best for the team for sure. And I know a lot of them have never been to the White House, so I'm not going to take that away from them. Yeah. I mean, we still won. Like, mm-hmm. We still won, and we want to get that experience.
Yeah. So
it's
like, that just shows her as, like, a leader for the team. You know what I'm saying? To, like, go back and be like, okay, I was speaking out of emotion. I took that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And be able to give us that opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Did it open your eyes to what white America looks at y'all like when they started saying, y'all aggressive, y'all this, and then you go back and you see the white girl do the same exact thing? Did that open your eyes at all?
I think that's why it was so big. You know what I'm saying? Because it was like they did the same thing. You know what I'm saying? And it was blown out of proportion. But I think, like, it's time for this, like, take this situation and grow the women's game.
For sure.
Word. It
for
ain't sure. Black and white. It's ball players on the court. Right. You know what I'm saying? I feel for like sure. We're so far from that. So I think this right here, it just grew the women's game. Like, we got superstars in women's basketball now. That's it's right. Been unheard of. You have an Angel Reese. You got a Caitlin Clark. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's never been heard of before. Like, so I think, like, that moment was pivotal, and it was what it was, but it, like, grew the game in a crazy way.
For sure.
Yeah, I can't believe we were debating trash talk like that. Even when people said, well, no, what Angel did was different because she followed her around.
Yeah,
like,
nah.
Like, who cares?
You saw Dylan Brooks and LeBron? Word. They were going at it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They get to it. Like, when I'm from Baltimore, like, that's what we do. Like, we talk trash.
I just heard it.
That's what we do. Like, that's just what we do. So, like, I ain't never going to stop doing that. Anytime, I'm going to do that. For
pop
sure.
Pop it.
Do you feel like the conversation should have been more about the double standards of gender as opposed to...
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, how can we grow the game when y'all putting black and white in the picture? It's women's basketball. Like, we're both being successful women in the game. I mean, people are watching women's basketball because of me and Caitlin now.
That's right.
They're literally, and we're kind of being the face of women's basketball. Okay. I understand that we're going to go down in history for this. Like, when I look back at it and I come back and come to LSU when I'm about 50, 60 years old, I'm like, damn, we just did something. Like, we were a part of history. And even with the NIL stuff, like, me and Flajay, we're leading in NIL as black women. Like, you got to realize that. So just being able to be in this moment, I mean, I embrace it for real.
Will you still have those lashes at 60, you think?
Yeah. If you see my mama, my mama fine, and she 50, so she, yeah.
Word.
I was going to say, do you guys want to play WNBA?
I mean, I want to play in the WNBA, but I know I have a career outside of it. I mean,
you're making
it's
more
not,
money than WNBA
players. I am.
Players,
I mean, I'm not in a rush. Trust me. We already said it. We're not in a rush. We're chilling right now. Mm-hmm. I want to win as many championships as I can at LSU and do as much as I can at LSU. So I'm chilling.
But I think that should put, like, the WNBA on notice for real.
For sure.
Y'all got to start getting right. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, we in college right now. We getting charter flights, free food, all of this, right? Charter flights. We getting paid. We got NIL now. It's like, give me something to want to, you know what I'm saying?
Want
to, like,
go.
You know I think saying? Y'all gonna be the generation to change the WNBA.
For sure. I think so too.
We watching y'all now and paying attention to y'all now.
We got time, yeah.
And when y'all get to the WNBA, that rivalry not gonna stop.
Facts.
We still gonna be wanting to see Angel and Caitlin go at
for
it.
For sure. For yeah. sure. It's gonna be lit.
How do y'all stay focused and disciplined though, being that y'all are making money now?
Man, I just, like, live the same way. Like, I'm a college student. I feel like this is the best year of my life. I don't have to pay no rent. I don't have to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to stack. Sure. What? We get free food.
What car you finna buy? No, I need an NIL deal for
Come
the car.
On,
I'm not paying. My mama still pay my car note, so I'm cool. Yeah, I'm saving as much as I can. Whatever she need, I make sure she have. So it's been good.
What kind of car you got?
A Nissan Altima.
Okay. See?
I'm chilling.
Nice and practical.
Keep it cute.
Now, how tall are you guys?
I'm 6'3".
I'm 5'11".
5'11". So we have this conversation,
I'll
right?
post both y'all up. Play with me.
Okay.
And wait, let me say, how tall are y'all? Because I know men be lying about their height. Y'all be
6'4".
You 6'4",
like
you 6'4", or you 5'10"?
I'm 6'foot.
Six
6'foot.
How tall are you?
Don't be asking questions. It ain't none of your business how tall
he's 5'1". Okay. He about 5'1".
I'm 5'7".
Would y'all ever date a guy that's...
No.
No.
Wow. No.
The size of short.
Y'all, I'm sorry. You missing y'all blessings.
Short Kings, no. I'm sorry.
That yeah. is so disrespectful.
The Short Kings.
Y'all gonna miss y'all blessings with that mentality.
Be so mad. No. He no, be
I'm
so
not,
mad.
No, I'm not mad.
Y'all
I'm
like tall, but I feel like the short guys, from my experience, they treat tall women a little better than
so if you
guys.
Know that and this is a statistical
I'm sorry
fact,
but I'm just
I
not
athlete,
short
like tall I need mean, D1 babies like
then y'all gotta put on 6-inch heels
that's what I'm saying like and now is you really a little boy
now you're over yeah. the timer
what y'all worried about money or actual love You talking about you want to be with a tall person just to breed?
I'm not finna be looking down to you. It's not. I can't.
My brother is 6'9". Like my man need to be up there.
You ain't gonna never find happiness. You better get all the money.
I'm happy right now.
Boy.
My blessing is 5'6", and y'all don't even know it yet.
Okay.
And you with Roc Nation now, right, Flajic?
Yeah, I got a distribution deal with EQ.
Oh, so it's a label deal.
Yeah.
Oh, so I don't know why I was thinking it was a management deal.
On my masters and stuff like that, and they just give me the resources. I got, like, creative control. I love it over there. You know what I'm saying? It's really what I want to do, like, when I'm getting my degree in, is I want to own my own record label. So this is really setting me up and showing me the business. It's literally like an internship, but it's my job. So
have you met Hov?
No, I haven't met Hov yet.
When you meet Hov, right, do you ask him for a verse? Because you're getting Lil Wayne verse. He'd be like, big homie.
That's what I'm. Come on, you gotta bless me. You know what I'm saying? But I want it to be at the right time. You can't play with a whole verse. You know what I'm saying? Like,
don't pull him to the side at the brunch. Don't do it at the brunch.
Not at the brunch. I missed the brunch because I had practice. I was so mad. Oh my god.
Yeah, and I'm supposed to be the plus
it
one.
It seems like you tried to miss that practice for that brunch.
She probably did.
What?
But I'm going too. Shoot.
I've never heard this. It's gonna be interesting to watch you over the next few years because you got 3 more years, right?
Yeah.
And you
sure.
got one more angel. It's gonna be interesting because you got. you got another year of eligibility?
I got two if I really want
if
to.
If she really wants to. We want Angel to stay. We love Angel.
I thought about that too, because, you know, with Aaliyah Boston and a few others at South Carolina, they could have stayed another year.
Yeah.
They say Aaliyah was getting beat up on so bad out there, you know, getting double teamed, that it was better for her to
I ain't worried.
I mean, she don't see every defense that they
I've seen it. I mean, just to see how my body going to be after this year. Yeah. I mean, and where I can go potentially, because I want to go to a team where it's like really marketable, like coming to New York or going to Atlanta, Dallas, LA, something like that is just going to help me.
Not Seattle?
I mean, I wouldn't mind going to Seattle, but I know where I'm going to be able to be marketable because I want to do fashion and I want to be doing broadcasting and stuff too. Yeah. So.
All right, well, don't move. We got more with Angel Reese and Florje Johnson. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Angel Reese and Florje Johnson. So who's been in your DMs and that y'all been surprised about?
What short kings? And y'all about to miss
it
out.
It ain't got to be the holler just to congratulate you.
Oh, congratulations. Let's just say congratulations. I'm going to say all congratulations to clear the air because I know how I get.
Yeah.
We're going to say it anyway, but go ahead. Start with the short guys.
Short, all of them shorter than me. Drake, Future.
That's the one you got to be careful of.
You said two that you need to stay far. God damn.
They just congratulated me. Congratulations. These are all congratulations.
That's how it started.
DJ Khaled.
Then Drake going to say, yo,
French Montana.
Got a basketball court at the crib. Did he say that yet?
Come do a run at the OVO facility.
Oh my God.
And you could have met her.
That is terrible.
My teammates are like, you got too much power.
Nah, she's too powerful.
Who else?
A lot of people have been showing love. Like for me, like people in the music industry, like a lot of execs trying to work. Like I just got hit up by like Wyclef because I did the Ready or Not Lauryn Hill remix. London on the track. Shaq. It's like Uncle Shaq.
Yeah, that's my uncle.
There's a lot of people been showing mad love. Like,
yeah, Shaq got a lot of flack because Shaq said Angel is the greatest athlete to ever come out of LSU.
I texted him. I called him after that. I was like, you know what you did, how much pressure you just put on me? You know how much? He was like, I don't give up. I was like, all right, Unc.
Do you feel like you're the best athlete out of LSU?
I feel like I haven't done nothing yet, so I told him, don't even say that.
You won a championship. That's what his thing was. His thing was that you bought a
I won a championship, but I just don't feel like I've done enough. Like, I don't think I've done enough. Like, I won a championship. I don't even realize how much, like, how important that
how
is.
Much weight it holds.
How much weight it holds. I don't really understand that. So, when I can actually, like, do a little bit more. If I go to year two and I dominate, we dominate. Yeah. Okay.
And another one.
Yeah, we go back.
But you think you need a player of the year? Maybe. Or you?
I might. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I could have. Yeah.
Yeah. She
I could have been player of the year.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's what I'm saying. What do you think you need to do more? What do you think?
Probably. I mean, that's probably gonna hold some weight. Player of the year. Another championship is gonna hold weight because I feel like I'm getting the treatment, like the Joe Burrow treatment up there. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I'm getting that type of treatment, but like. Another championship, maybe a player of the year would hold some more weight. But I ain't think I ain't holding no weight yet.
Flajic, you think you can handle the next few years of trying to recording the album, basketball, and school?
Yeah, I got a team now. Before it was just me and my mom. And she was doing an amazing job, but like I have a team now, and they really see the vision. It's hard to execute stuff when people don't see your vision and understand what you want to do. But now that they see, like, oh, I see it creeping. Like, you can do it. You can do both. You know what I mean? So I think that all I need is a studio and some content. It don't take too much. Being appearances on the weekend, I'm back at practice on Monday. Like, I've been doing it for a long time. But now, like, having a set schedule and just being disciplined in that schedule, is the sky's the limit.
If you see one starting to slack, whether it's school or basketball, would you put the rapping to the side?
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay. I'm tightening up for sure. Mm-hmm. But like, rapping, it don't feel like a business to me. It's more like a therapy for me. Like, this is how I let out my emotions. Like, basketball, I go to the gym, I could shoot it out. But like, this is how I talk it out. Just like therapy. Like, how you talk to a therapist. Like, that's how I feel like that music is for me. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a thing like that. And then it just turned into a business because I'm just good at it. You feel me? So I think it all just go hand in hand.
What are y'all doing mentally and emotionally just to keep this together?
Writing stuff down. I feel like, and I pray a lot. Like, I got closer to God this year. I feel like I do a lot of devotion. I read a devotion every day. Mm-hmm. Just being able to pray every day, and then just write down a lot of thoughts and talking to my mom a lot. So
yeah, I think God take away a lot of that, the extra. You know what I'm saying? Because like we start realizing we worry about stuff we don't even supposed to be worried about. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So just praying, and I got a lot of resources at LSU that they give us. Like, they give us a lot of resources, a lot of people on staff, like Coach Shante, she really be helping us like spiritually. And you know, just being able to keep us on track, just make it easier with everything that we got going on. Because what we doing is new. NIL is new.
That's right.
This superstardom is new. So like, just having resources and people to be around us.
What about the haters? I know it's a lot of them.
They gonna be there. That's
they
gonna
be right
there.
Next
they
to
gotta do their job. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They gotta do their job. Whenever you're doing something great, it's gonna be something.
For sure.
Like, you gotta expect it now. Like, they just troll. That's what the internet for clicks. But I don't let that too much faze me. Y'all never see me in person to say it. So.
Don't let them little people bother you.
Yeah.
They be like social media. It make you feel like the world is so small. Like, people be thinking like, that what you say on social media, that don't get to me. Like, nah.
What about teammates? Like, how do the teammates feel? Because, you know, y'all are stars.
Our teammates are so supportive.
They are
supportive. We buy each other's merch. Like, wear each other's merch. Like, our team is really supportive. And, like, you don't see, like, a lot of NIL deals that we do. We make sure we get back to our teammates. I got my whole team coach bags. Got my coaches, Bose headphones. So, like, just being able to do stuff like that for the team. Thanks. I think they love us because they get free stuff.
Oh, God. We come with gifts every week.
So,
did it scare you when that number came out of how much you was making?
They don't know how much I'm making.
Yeah, I saw
that's just estimate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you got family members in your pocket now. I know y'all both got family members calling like crazy.
Nah, man, my lights off. I'm like, how long your lights been off?
That's crazy.
Lights been off for 2 years.
It's dark warm out
too. Saying, yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, bro.
We appreciate you guys joining
Thanks
us. So we got to ask, you know, you're a rapper.
Yeah.
Probably one of the biggest platforms out there.
Yeah.
You got something for us?
Yeah, let me see.
I like that. Yeah, let me see.
You sure you don't want to blow your nose first? Now I heard you sniffling.
No, I'm good. It was a dog in here or something.
Oh, it was a dog. It was a dog.
It was a dog. Go for it. You got allergies.
I'm allergic, yeah.
That's how y'all beat us. Remember that teams next year. Let the dog run around the court.
Literally. Look, I feel like I give you my all because you don't care what I got. I be so scared to keep it real because I know everybody not. And you supposed to be supporting. You too scared I'm a pop. I know they waiting for me scared at the top. But look, everybody got to go through something so I never judge. I could have been broken and hater, but nah, I never was. Never felt betrayed in all that pain until I fell in love. You ain't got a dollar to your name. Why you still in the club? I'm rich now. My people broke. I feel like I could never grin. I was sick and alone. This music was my medicine. You beautiful, you strong. Your power in your melanin. When I spit, they feel it in their bones. It's in their skeleton. I'm keeping it real. It's in my blood. That's how I'm telling it. It ain't about my family or my money. It's irrelevant. Why you let them play it like a dummy? You intelligent. If you keep your clothes on your body, you can leverage it. Hard work or do it, man. I'm a walking testimony. I swear you don't get it if you don't grind. I learned my lesson, homie. I get on my knees. I'm thanking God for putting blessings on me. Really, I'ma go get every dime that I've been destined for me. I'm about to tell you, they all fake, even your main man. You know they don't like me. Why you hanging with them same friends? Supposed to be 4L. I guess you changed plans. Man, I showed you all my cards. Man, you play me with the same hand. I've been by myself for a while. I know how the loners feel. On the second strike, I told him walk, but he's still on the field. Now I'm in the skybox watching games while all the owners chill. And they still sleeping on me. Keep them in that coma still. For the M's, I got the call. Play for Kim, I got a ball. I just went and focused on myself and passed a lot of y'all. I want my team to eat. I could have scored, passed a lot of balls. Thank you to the fans for supporting. We love all of y'all.
Drop one of Clues Bonds and Clues. Angel is her biggest hype woman.
Oh, no, that's my dog. That's my video vixen.
I'm the video vixen. I saw you on the pivot doing the same thing. I'm like, yo, Angel, really?
Yeah, no, I know.
That's dope. Well, shout out your team and all your friends.
Shout out to everybody.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to, man, first of all, shout out to God for making this happen. Shout out to Kim. Shout out to the team, man. Shout out LSU. We love you, Baton Rouge. The Bayou Barbie.
Thanks.
You know.
You gotta write a brush for Angel.
Most definitely.
Oh, no. You gotta give him.
Oh, man.
This is my little bar she got for me. Go ahead.
No, I can't. I can't. Because that's
you can't give it to him just
that's
yet?
The Wayne one. So I'm going to
hear
it. They're going
to hear it. I got to hear it.
You got a little one in there?
Oh, you going to name drop her in the song?
What? She already dropped me.
Oh, y'all on it. Yeah. Oh, y'all got
come on,
it.
You know
oh,
it.
Y'all know what y'all doing.
You know it.
This is
my dog.
Appreciate y'all for joining us. And shout out to LSU because I know you had to get clearance to come up here. So appreciate
Michelle,
that. As well.
Thank you, Miss Walker.
Thank you, Miss Walker.
Thank you, Miss Walker. Thank you, Miss Walker.
Miss Walker. We love you.
We love you.
Oh, damn.
Well, I'm online
he never
today.
Went to college. He don't know anybody. Never went to college.
Mm-mm. School of Hard Knocks.
Well, you made it.
Well, all
that's right.
Right. Appreciate y'all. Angel Reese, Floyd J. Johnson. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When you're a business owner and you're juggling a lot of things, you need a team of people to keep your business running successfully. How do you find and hire the right people? ZipRecruiter. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/breakfast.
This is a miracle.
There is no question that there are problems in this country between police and community.
Yes, you are a donkey.
The latest on that police killing of a black man.
Now to new developments in the deadly spa shooting rampage.
And yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did.
And so we are in a state of emergency.
Okay, white supremacist violence is and always has been the number one threat to our society.
But I'm also very proud that my wife is white.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
All right, Charlene, please tell me, why was I your donkey of the day?
Yeah, it's Donkey of the Day for Monday, February 27th, goes to Scott Adams. Do y'all know who Scott Adams is?
No.
Huh? Not familiar.
Well, he's the creator of the syndicated comic strip Dilbert. Do y'all know Dilbert?
Yes, I remember Dilbert.
Okay. Well, the Washington Post, LA Times, a bunch of newspapers around the country carried Dilbert. Well, they did. They don't anymore because Scott Adams, for whatever reason, decided to post a video online urging white people to get the hell away from black people. Okay, I'm not making any of this up. Let's go to CBS News for the report, please.
Newspapers across the country have pulled the long-running Dilbert comic strip after a racist rant from cartoonist Scott Adams. In a video posted to YouTube this week, Adams called black Americans members of a, quote, hate group, saying white people should stay away from them. Adams has written Dilbert for 3 decades.
Would you like to hear the racist rant?
Yeah.
All right, let's listen to it.
Let's go.
This is the first political poll that ever changed my activities. I don't know that that's ever happened before. But as of today, I'm going to re-identify as white because I don't want to be a member of a hate group. I'd accidentally joined a hate group. So if you know, nearly half of all blacks are not okay with white people, according to this poll, not according to me, according to this poll, that's a hate group. That's a hate group. And I don't want to have anything to do with them. And I would say, you know, based on the current way things are going, the best advice I would give to white people is to get the hell away from black people. Just get the f*** away. Wherever you have to go, just get away. Because there's no fixing this. This can't be fixed.
Well, it can be fixed. And damn, I buried the lead. Scott was transracial. I forgot to tell y'all that.
Transracial?
He was transracial. He said he identifies as black.
I'm re-identifying as black, too.
Yeah, he's...
What do you identify as now?
Because what did he identify
he said he identifies as white.
Let me hear him.
So I realized, as you know, I've been identifying as black for a while.
Okay.
Years now. Because I like, you know, I like to be on the winning team. And I like to help. And I always thought, well, if you help the black community, that's sort of the biggest lever. You know, you can find the biggest benefit. So I thought, well, that's the hardest thing and the biggest benefit. So I'd like to focus a lot of my life resources in helping black Americans. So much so that I started identifying as black to just be on the team I was helping.
Okay.
But it turns out that nearly half of that team doesn't think... I'm okay to be white.
So you can identify for whatever you want?
That's what I'm saying.
You just realizing this?
You're late.
I'm going to try that. When I get pulled over next time, I'm going to be like,
I'm white. I mean, this is obviously an old crazy man. Like, he's old and senile. So yeah, I really don't, I'm not even taking it seriously at all.
I think we should take it seriously. I think we should take it serious. The only reason I think we should take it serious is because when I hear white people like Scott Adams talk like this, it makes me feel like he has no concept of history whatsoever, like no knowledge of white racial supremacy and colonization. Because, Scott, I don't know if you know, but black people have way more reasons to fear white people than white people have to fear us.
That's right.
Okay, the only thing white people could possibly be afraid of in regard to black people is black people one day having the type of power and privilege they have and doing to them what they have done to countless marginalized groups for centuries. So, you know, Scott Adams isn't just calling for segregation. He's calling for separation.
Yeah.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad would agree. Okay, but once again, and this is just historic fact, white people have caused more hell on this planet for everybody than anybody.
Facts.
Right? And you can't hear what you don't reveal. So this newfound playing the victim, this white grievance thing that's happening is nuts to me. Okay, black grief should not lead to white grievance because we have every single reason to grieve. Now, can we also talk about self-destruction and self-sabotage? Because we're not talking about that in this situation. Dilbert was published daily in 2,000 newspapers in 65 countries and 25 languages, and now it's been canceled by hundreds of newspapers because Scott Adams woke up and said, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to just go on a racist tirade against black people. I'm going to go DEFCON 3 on black people for no reason. All right? Called black people a hate group. Why?
Yeah.
Why? Because we hated slavery? Because we hate the fact that there has been no atonement for slavery, because we hate systemic racism. Why wouldn't a black person hate the fact that from birth to death, we face systemic disadvantages, okay? Inequality between blacks and whites persists in every single aspect of society, okay? And the economy. Why wouldn't we hate that, all right? No matter what laws and policies have been created to address these systemic disadvantages, it still has left black people with less education, less wealth, poorer health, and shorter lifespans. And we're not supposed to hate that. Now, I can't speak for all black people, okay? No black person can, but personally, I don't hate white people, but I do hate white supremacy. And I really hate white grievance, especially when the white grievance paints black people as the problem. What's that African proverb? Until the lion learns how to write, every story will glorify the Dilbert. That's how it goes? Something to that effect. It's something to that effect. Scott, you called black people a hate group, but think about all these wide gaps I just mentioned. They exist because of slavery, segregation, and discrimination. I haven't even mentioned things like the war on drugs, police brutality. I mean, come on, bro. Hate and racial injustice does not make black people a hate group. But Scott, you know this. You're just racist. Simple and plain. Okay, you're a white supremacist. And white separatism is a concept every neo-Nazi white nationalist talks about all the time. So knock it off.
Knock it off before we send Dr. Umar on you.
A thousand lashes.
A thousand? Exactly.
Is this a thousand?
10,000.
Okay.
Because he on the way. He coming for you.
Please give Scott Adams the big... Well, matter of fact, let Chelsea Handler give Scott Adams the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw! Hee-haw! That is way too much Dan mayonnaise.
I think Kathy Griffin need to get in on this, too.
Please give this giant jar of mayo the biggest hee-haw.
No Chris Rock? I ain't heard from Mr. Chris Rock in a while either.
Cracker ass cracker.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, he need all of them.
What about my girl?
Cracker.
Hey, man.
Are you offended, DJ Envy? Because you remember you just said that you're trans.
Woof. I identify as a dog. Yeah.
Since okay. We can switch it up, whatever we want.
The big yellow beige dog. Envy the big beige dog. Oh, that could be a great children's book.
That would.
We can give Clifford a run for his money.
Oh, my goodness.
We can give Clifford a run for his money. Envy the big, Rashawn the big beige dog.
Oh, my God. I'm messing with y'all.
Bro, that could be dope. You put some Timbs on him and a Yankees hat. All right. That'd be amazing.
Not the butters.
The Breakfast Club.
X about me.
Relationship problems?
X about me.
You need to beat your coworker's ass.
X about me.
Your coworker need to beat your ass? Call it up. It's Dr. Jess, and I'm here to fix your mess.
Fix your mess.
It's getting very much messy. Let me fix it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Jess Hilarious here. It is time for Jess Fix My Mess.
Yes.
And who do we have on the line?
Hello.
Hey, what's your name, bro?
Hey, my name is Nish.
Hey, Nish.
Sorry about that.
What's your question for Jess?
Hey, Jess. Hello. So, me and my girl, we've been dating for about 2 years now. She's currently in dental school, and she's about to graduate next year. And she's expecting me to propose to her and us to move forward in our lives. But I'm about to go to school right now. I'm about to go to pharmacy school, and I can't afford to get married to her. I can't afford to suppose, at this moment. And I don't know, there's just like this pressure building up for her to, there's a pressure building up for me to propose to her. And not sure what to do, especially when I start going back to school and I can't afford to propose to her at this moment.
Well, have you guys talked them in depth? Like, is this a deal breaker for her? Will she leave you if she don't get married to you in a certain amount of time?
I don't think so, but okay. I think in her mind, she is like, I'm going to graduate from school when I'm 30. And she was like, I don't want to get married when I'm 30.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like, I could propose maybe like 27, 20, if I won't have any money. Like, I'm going to be a flat, broke.
I got you. So this is what we do as women, as people, period. But as women, we put these schedules on our lives. We give like ourselves these deadlines. And I said the same thing. I said, I want to be able to have all my children before 30, because in my 30s, I'm not going to want to have a baby. It didn't work like that. I said, I will be married by 25. Didn't work like that. We put deadlines on ourselves, but we don't even know that it don't happen like that, because that's not just a decision for you. That's a decision for another person. Being married to somebody is different. I mean, that's not a decision that one person gets to make. I think that you have equal say, because both of y'all have to get married to each other. I think you should sit down with her and tell her, listen, babe, right now it's going to be a financial struggle if I decide to, if we do get married, or not even the wedding, just the engagement ring. You want to do it right, and it'll never be the perfect time, just like having a baby. But if you really feel like it's not a good time right now because of your finances and you're being looked at as the provider and all of that, then I think you should sit down and talk to her about it and tell her, push it back another year. Let's push it back another year when we both agree to do it. You know, she love you, she'll stay.
Yeah. I mean, we've had this. I think it's just like when you said that timeline, she has that specific timeline where she's like, want to get proposed by 7, get by 30, have children by 30, 31, 32, and then I know I won't be done until I'm 30, and I won't have money until then. So,
yep, because she can't control what happens. She can't. So, you know, yep.
Jess, were you disappointed when you didn't meet those marks?
No, I actually wasn't, because I was actually doing something else at that time. Like, when I was 20, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be married by 25. Need a guy for that. Didn't meet him, but I was doing something else, so I wasn't even thinking. Next thing you know, I'm 27. I'm like, damn, I was supposed to get married 2 years ago. Yeah. You know, and then I wanted more kids by 30. It didn't happen because I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. So now I probably will have to have kids in 30s. I know now not to put a deadline on it.
Right. So you wouldn't encourage women to do that, or anybody.
No. Don't put a deadline on your life. Word. Don't do that. Or for plans in your life. Don't do that.
800-585-1051. Jess Hilaris is here. And call her up if you're having some relationship problems and you need some advice. Jess, fix my mess. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Ask Charlamagne and DJ Envy anything.
Pick it up. Roll.
It's time to ask CNE.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask CNE. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can call us. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Anonymous.
Anonymous,
you do not have to be anonymous on the radio. All you got to do is say another name,
bro. You could have made up a name, but what's your question for CNE, bro?
You can still search the name. Either way, but look, I was delivering food, right? And knew the person I was delivering food to, but it was an old co-worker stuff. And the dude, the boyfriend, came out and started like, what's up, what you saying with my girl? And he stole on me. I'm literally delivering food, like DoorDash and all that. Dude stole on me. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to figure out, should I get a restraining order? Should I retaliate the hood way? Like,
man, you know, shut up. That man punched you in your face right then and there. You ain't did nothing. You ain't going to do nothing after the fact. Leave it alone.
Yeah, why just don't go back to that house, bro.
That word is born. You better stay away from that man. Hey, that punch hurt?
Everything about him.
Hey, did that punch hurt?
Nah.
Don't lie now. Nah. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. So why you ain't hit him back then if the punch ain't hurt?
Because it was like literally stole on me, then literally just put me in a chokehold. And then
he put you in the dope feet. So you ain't, he beat you up then. He beat you up. It's okay.
So when you got back up, what happened?
Literally, he was gone. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, when you woke up, he was gone.
Yeah, after you woke up, he was gone. He ain't going to stick around when you've been asleep for 10 minutes.
Yeah, hey, leave that man alone, man.
In the words of Craig's daddy and Friday, okay, so you win some, you lose some, but you live to fight another day, huh?
No, don't,
man, you ain't gonna do nothing. And stop. Why you want to retaliate?
Leave him alone. He leave beat it, you
exactly.
Up.
Some already got people on his head. What you saying?
How old are you? How old are you?
That's anonymous too.
Well, listen, I was born in 1978. I turned 44 yesterday. We come from an era where if you lose a fist fight, you just lose a fist fight. Leave it at that.
Just leave it alone, bro.
I ain't that old.
Okay, well, listen, if you want to retaliate, ask him for a fair one then.
Oh, that's a bet.
You better not do that. Nah, don't do that, because he... Bro. Trust me, bro. He whooped your ass one time.
That's right.
It ain't worth it. Because think about it like this, right? Think about it like this. You retaliate, you do something, now you go into jail.
If it's a fair one, I'm cool with that, though. As long as it ain't no...
He lost this one and dude put him in a dope fiend.
And he just going to get put in the dope fiend again?
He lost, man. He lost.
You going to train before the next fight?
Now, look. It ain't no training for this.
You need training.
The man beat you. It's okay, man.
You need training.
Listen, I done got punched on camera, bro. You done seen the can I get a drop. I ain't got no time for retaliation. Who cares? Like,
we too old. Let it go,
bro. Yeah, let it go.
People already know who you is.
That's even worse.
Exactly. I got punched in the head and got seen by millions of people. You think I'm sitting around?
Just regular people out here. You know what I'm saying? You know
let
how
it go.
All the more reason for you to let it go, sir.
All the more reason for me to retaliate.
No, why?
You're going to go to jail. You're going to retaliate. You're going to hurt him. You're going to go to jail. Is it worth it?
No, we don't know if you're going to. I doubt you're going to hurt him.
Now,
okay, so let me ask you a question. If you go get a fair one, you and him just fight straight up. If he beat you again, then what?
They ain't going to go for a third time.
I'm going to call it a fair fight.
You going to what?
That's honest. I'm going to call it a fair fight. Dude, snuck.
All right, I'm going to tell you what to do then. Because you said you either want to fight again or you want to press charges, right?
Oh, ain't no pressing charges.
You just said you want to get a restraining order against him.
So to get a restraining order, you got to press charges.
Oh, my bad.
I want you to press charges. No. I'd rather you press charges,
we'll get
bro.
A restraining order.
Yeah, I'd rather you get a restraining order.
Nah.
You're about to lose your job, right. And you're about to go That's to jail right. for doing something stupid. And leave
that,
it alone.
That man done beat you up so bad you want to get a restraining order, so I don't know why you acting all tough now. Let it go, bro.
Have a good one, man. But
no, don't hang up on this man yet. You going to let it go?
Maybe.
Do you have kids, bro?
Nah.
Man, let it...
Your mom and daddy going to have to visit you in jail because you're going to do something stupid. Leave it alone. We win some, we lose some. Let it go.
Did your girl see you get beat up?
Nah.
All right, then. So let it go. Nobody saw it. Nobody even knows. That's why. And you anonymous. Nobody knows this happened, bro. If it's not on video, nobody saw it. Let it go.
Change the narrative. Tell everybody you beat him up. Nobody seen it.
Word up. You could have called up here and lied to us.
Yes.
All right, we'll see.
There ain't no we'll see.
Don't do nothing stupid, bro.
God bless you, man.
Goodness gracious.
Sending you healing energy, man.
He got knocked out.
The man done hit you and choked you out, and then you talk about you want. The first thing he did when he called up here was say, should I get a restraining order or retaliate? You know how bad somebody got to do you if you want to get a restraining order?
Just get the restraining order.
Just relax, man. Come on, let it go.
Ask C&E. The Breakfast Club, good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When it's time to get with someone special, the best way to do it is with Magnum large-size condoms. That gold foil wrapper is a badge of honor, and it means you're protected. And you take care of things with comfort. Accept no substitutes. Bring the pleasure with the gold standard. Magnum large-size condoms. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time to get up out of here. Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
Unity is strength.
It is.
All right, when there is teamwork and collaboration, wonderful things can be achieved. That is actually my positive note of the day, okay?
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?